This evening in Joshua chapter 18, we want to look at one verse in Joshua 18 verse 1, and then again over in Joshua 19 verse 49 through verse 51. And what originally caught my attention as I was reading through this, seeking the Lord's message for you and the whole congregation, Joshua 18 1. Of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. Now remember those 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. That tabernacle was made to travel. It was set up on the priest. And they had a routine where they could take it down, where they could put it up, and they could travel and move it, and here and there. But this is the first time after we read about them crossing over into Jordan and possessing the land, fighting the enemies, and the Lord giving the land to the children of Israel by lot. This is the first time we read of the tabernacle being set up. Now remember before their base camp was at Gilgal. Gilgal was toward the east, over there toward Jordan, near to Jericho. But if you look at the map, and I love to look at those maps. If you look at the map and you follow the map over to the center part of that land of Canaan, you'll find right smack dab in the center of that, you'll find this little city called Shiloh. Now, it's north of Jerusalem. Why didn't he set the tabernacle up in Jerusalem? Why in this place called Shiloh? And that caught my attention. So the title of the message is The Tabernacle Set Up at Shiloh. Now, I'm sure it was set up before over in Gilgal. But here, 7 or 8 years later, now it's set up in a permanent way at Shiloh. And you know how long it stayed there in Shiloh? 350 years. It stayed there in Shiloh. We read about, remember when we read 1 Samuel, remember when we studied through 1 Samuel several years ago, that when Elkanah and Hannah went to worship the Lord, do you remember where they went? They went to Shiloh. And that's 350 years later than what we read here in Joshua chapter 18 verse 1. The Lord preserved that tabernacle in that spot and blessed the people of Israel. The tabernacle set up. Now also in chapter 19 verse 51, as we read earlier, the tabernacle again is mentioned there. When and how, in that verse, Joshua and Eleazar, the priest of God, divided the inheritance upon the remaining 7 tribes of Israel, and they did so by lot. Notice we read that many times there in chapter 18, the first 10 verses. It was done by lot. Now, there were 7 tribes we read of here in chapter 18 who had not yet received the land of promise given to them, but it was given to them by lot. That is, it wasn't by chance, it wasn't by luck, it was by the lot or the appointment and decree of God. It was lotted to them, granted to them, given to them, appointed for them. Now we too, and that was their inheritance in the land of Canaan. We too as believers, we enjoy the whole inheritance of grace by the appointment, decree of God. Not by luck, not by chance, not by fate. We enjoy the whole inheritance of grace, God's grace. Everything He has for us, He gives it to us by lot. He's allotted that to us. He's granted it to us. He has given it to us by His appointment and His sovereign decree, by His grace. And we always say His free and sovereign grace. And that's the only kind of grace there is. Free grace and sovereign grace. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. You see, he's made us an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Now, this was done, as we read in Joshua 19, 50 and 51. This was done at the door of the tabernacle when the tabernacle was set up in Shiloh at the door. Now, what do you think of when you think in reading the scripture, when you think of the tabernacle and the door? Well, immediately we think of Christ, who is the door. Our Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go out and in. What does that mean? And find pasture, out of death and into life. That's what it means to me. Out of bondage, into liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, and find plenty. Now, when the fighting of the enemy had been completed and finished, you remember, the land rested from war. Hold your place there and turn back to chapter 11, verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel. Remember, I emphasize the fact that Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribe, and the land rested from war. The war was over. The fighting was done. The tabernacle of the Lord was established and set up in Shiloh for those 350, some say 360 years. I don't know. I just go by what they said, but I went back and looked at the dates, and that's about right. That's about what I figured. Now, why at this particular place? Why was it located in this particular place? Well, it was located, as I said a moment ago, in the center part of the land. In the middle part, north and south, east and west, boom, right in the middle is Shiloh. Now, when we were driving back from Colorado last week, we passed through a little town called, or near a little town called Lebanon, Kansas. And there was a sign said, this is the geographical center of the United States. I didn't know such a place existed, but it does. It's the center, north and south, east and west, boom, Lebanon, Kansas. That's where the center is. And it caught my attention, and we talked about that for a while. The center. We're in the middle of the United States. Now, in this wilderness journey, those 40 years, the tabernacle was always set up in the center of the camp. Here's the tabernacle. They were, all the different tribes were surrounded that tabernacle, set up in such a particular order. You can go back and study that as we have in the book of Leviticus. Now, why this particular city? Well, if you hold your place there, and let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 12 for just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10. The Lord says this, Deuteronomy 12, verse 10. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place, a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, and thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offering, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which the Lord, which you vow unto the Lord, in the place that the Lord said, I will name. Now, obviously, Shiloh was that place. And somehow that was revealed to the priest of God and to Joshua, and it was established in that place that God had chosen there in Shiloh. Now, it reminded me also of this, but also remember, and we read this recently, when Jacob, when he was dying and giving the blessings to those different sons, the 12 sons of Israel, the 12 sons turned out to be the 12 tribes. When Jacob blessed Judah, we read about that in Genesis 49, 8 through 10. He talked about the coming of Shiloh, which I told you meant son of peace. And it was in reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Shiloh. He is our son of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Our Lord said unto us, a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Righteousness. He is Lord of Lords. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity came from which tribe? Judah. Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah, has prevailed. Revelation 5:5. In Genesis 49, continuing with the blessing that Jacob put upon Judah, in prophecy, talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, who's he talking about there? He's not specifically talking about Judah or even that tribe, but rather the king of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that tabernacle remained there in Shiloh for those 350 or 60 years when Elkanah went with Hannah to worship the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 1. They went to this same place called Shiloh. That's amazing that the Lord preserved it there all them years. The tabernacle remained there until it was taken. Remember, it was taken by the Philistines. Remember, they set it up by their god Dagon. You remember Dagon kept falling over? And the Philistines took that tabernacle, or the Ark of the Covenant. They took the Ark of the Covenant, and they didn't have it very long, and they sent it back. They said, this is a curse to us. It was a curse to them. It was a blessing to the Lord's people. Now, we see in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the gospel of Christ, sinners are still being gathered unto him. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He is our Shiloh, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, by way of commandment, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. We read that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That's how he gathers us, by the sacrifice of himself and the calling of the gospel. In our blessed Lord, in our blessed Shiloh, in our blessed dwelling with the Lord, we shall have no ending. Now, they had the presence. Do you remember what they call the Shekinah glory of God was on that place? The visible presence of God shined on that tabernacle. And they had that for those many years. But our dwelling with the Lord Jesus Christ is forever. This not 360 years. That's a long time. But our dwelling with our Shiloh shall be forever. In Revelation 21. Verse 3. Let me read this to you. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God. There it is, the tabernacle of God. Who is that? It's Christ. The tabernacle of God is with men. Remember he said, I in them, thou in me, that we may be made perfect in one. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. No separation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I said all that in way of introduction. Now let's look at verse 1. Joshua 18, verse 1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued. The land was subdued. Now who did that? Who subdued it? Read Psalm 44. The Lord had gotten the victory for them. He subdued the land before them. Now, in our study in the book of Joshua, This is the first time we read of the tabernacle being set up. Although, remember, when they came up, bumped up against Jordan, the Jordan River, they would come up this way from the east, and the Jordan River, it's a big river. I mean, it's not just a creek, but out here you say creek. It was a river. It was a big river, something similar like you would say the Ohio River. How are we going to get across that Ohio River? Well, we know what happened when the priest of God put that ark upon their shoulders. Remember, they came down to the shore of that river, and when the priest's feet hit that river, separated. And the whole millions of those people walked right across on dry ground. That was the ark. But we know that passing through that river also, they were carrying the tabernacle. Tabernacle. Now, we read about the Ark of the Covenant, but we didn't read anything about the tabernacle crossing through the river. We studied, and I made the emphasis that all Israel passed clean over. You remember? There wasn't any mud on their feet. They passed over clean and clean over. All of them passed over. You read about that in Joshua chapter 3. Now, probably the tabernacle was set up in their base camp, which was at Gilgal before, but we don't read about that. Now, I'm just assuming that it was set up because it was such a vital part of approaching God. But this now, at this time, was the Lord who the Lord had intended for this time for it to be set up in a permanent way where orderly conduct of regular worship again was established around the tabernacle of the Lord in Shiloh. And this happened 7 or 8 years after they crossed over through Jordan. And they fought all them battles. 7 or 8 years later, we read about this here in Joshua 18, verse 1. Now, you remember how the tabernacle and all that's involved in that tabernacle. We read about it earlier in Hebrews chapter 9. Remember how the tabernacle is a vivid picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't turn back there, but it says here, for Christ had not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So that all that is involved in that tabernacle, in the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat, and all that went on there, everything, every piece of furniture, every sacrifice that was made, the linen fence that covered it, those different coverings over the tabernacle. You remember the goat skin, the ram skin, the linen underneath, and all these different skin. All that is a picture of the gospel of the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember also, what was the most important thing that happened inside that tabernacle on that one appointed day called the Day of Atonement? Those priests always went into the first place called the Holy Place all the time, ministering unto God and ministering and representing the people unto God. But there was that heavy, thick veil. 15 feet high, I believe that tabernacle was. Once a year, that great high priest or the high priest went under that veil with blood from a sacrifice of an animal, and he put that blood upon the mercy seat, making satisfaction or propitiation for the sins of the people. He put that upon the mercy seat and that blood covering that law that was in that covenant. All that is a picture of Christ, our substitute who made satisfaction, making propitiation for the sins of the people. We won't turn and read it, but in Exodus 25, Verse 21 and 22, you remember what God said of that mercy seat? He gives them the exact dimensions of it. And then he tells them what to do with it, with those winged creatures, and where to place it over the Ark of the Covenant. And then God said that that is the place where I will meet with you there upon that mercy seat. And we know from reading the scripture that Christ, he is our mercy seat. That's the only way we can approach God, is in Christ, our mercy seat, and his sacrifice. All that's a beautiful picture of the gospel as we've tried to set it forth here these almost 25 years now. I've been trying to preach the gospel to you folks here. John put it this way: herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and that he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. And then in Romans 3, we remembered he was set forth, the Lord Jesus Christ was set forth to be our propitiation, that God might be a just God and Savior, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice not only the place where the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant was established, but also notice in verse 1 of Joshua 18 how all Israel, says the whole congregation, assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation. The whole congregation. I take that to mean all of them. All of them, the whole congregation. All the Israel, they had a vital interest in what was happening there that day at Shiloh. That's why it's called the Tabernacle of the Congregation. Now we know it's the Tabernacle of the Lord, right? But they owned it. They claimed it. They said it's ours. God given it to us to make a sacrifice for our sin. And God's people today still have an unwavering interest and a vital interest of Christ, our mercy seat, and Christ, our tabernacle. Do we not? He's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to everyone that believes it. Now, we all have an interest, a vital interest, in Christ our tabernacle. We read in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word can also be rendered, the Word was made flesh and he tabernacled among us. We all, as believers, have an interest in Christ our dwelling place, Christ our righteousness. He put it this way, Paul did in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Think about it. How can God, who inhabits eternity, inhabit a body of a man? I don't know. But the Word was made flesh. I don't understand it, but I believe it's so. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. We have a vital interest in Christ. We also have a vital interest in Christ, our mercy seat. He alone is the whole of our salvation. He alone is the whole of our propitiation. He made complete atonement for the sins of the people. Remember we read in Hebrews 9, verse 11 and 12, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He did not bring that typical animal sacrifice. He didn't bring bulls, blood of bulls and goats, did he? What did he bring? He brought himself. He offered up his own blood unto God, and by doing that, obtained for us eternal redemption with his own blood. I like the way that is written. He hath attained for us. That means he did it all. He attained for us. And we, as believers, have a vital interest in that sacrifice, for we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We have a vital interest in the mercy seat, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our propitiation, and he's our propitiation for the people of God. Notice in our text, this tabernacle of the congregation, the children of Israel set it up. This tabernacle and this mercy seat wasn't for the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Philistines, and all the otherites. It was set up exclusively for God's people. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ did not die in a general way, making a general atonement for all the sin of all people. Would you dare think that the priest of God on the Day of Atonement went in there to make propitiation for the Philistines? No, he didn't. He went in there and made propitiation for Israel. He represented God's people. And my friend, that is a sweet and precious picture of Christ making atonement for only the sins of his people. It wasn't a general atonement. It was a particular atonement. We call that, or the old timers call that, definite atonement. Limited atonement. That's what we preach. That's what we believe. Not ashamed of it. This book declares it because he has said, we must boldly say. The Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Now, that leads me to point two. Turn to Joshua 19, verse 49. And let's read again. Joshua 19, 49. When they made an end, when they have made an end of dividing the land for an inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua. Now, don't you find that a little bit peculiar? Everybody else had their inheritance already given to them, and then Joshua standing over here with nothing. And the children of Israel, they gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them. Now look at verse 50. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah and Mount Ephraim. Now he was of that tribe of Ephraim, and this city in that region there of Ephraim, Timnath-Serah, and he built a city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes, the children of Israel, divided for an inheritance by lot. There it is again, in Shiloh, before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, so they made an end of dividing the country. Now, a couple points here. The children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua according to the word of the Lord. Just as Joshua, like unto Caleb, the Lord gave him that specific mountain, remember? And now the Lord by commandment gives Joshua this particular city. But notice, everybody else has their inheritance. And Joshua, the greatest man in Israel, is the last one to receive a blessing. Now, what do we see in that? I tell you what we see. We see something of the humility and modesty of this great leader. He could have demanded my portion first. He could have demanded not a city, but a whole country. Although Joshua was so greatly blessed and used of the Lord, the eldest and greatest among them, who led Israel to so many victories, but Joshua put the people, his people, first, sought the good of his country, not his own private interests. Now, what does that sound like to you? Now, we know that Joshua is a picture of the greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his great humility and lowliness, who came not to be served when he was manifest in the flesh, but rather to serve, to give his life a ransom for many, to accomplish the Lord's will in saving his elect. You remember from Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, let me read it to you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see his great humility, even in the type and picture of Joshua. The Lord, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of sinful men and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's humility. The Lord Jesus Christ, God said, "Behold my servant, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring salvation to sinners." Secondly, verse 50, this town here that's kind of an unusual town, the name of it, Timnath-Serah. You see that? Timnath-Serah. When I type that in on my word in the computer, when I type that in, it underlined it red. You misspelled it. My dictionary and Word didn't even recognize this well-known city. So I had to put it ad. But Timnath-Serah, what does it mean? You don't have to do something with the gospel, does it not? I know it does. You know what it means? It means an abundant portion. It means a place in the sun. Christ is our portion. Christ is our light. He is the light of life. John Gill said this, and I wrote it down. Joshua's great reward was in seeing the promise of God fulfilled before his very eyes, and the children of Israel serving the Lord during his lifetime. Joshua may have received but a small inheritance in the promised land, but this was just an earnest of the future glorious inheritance in eternity. The saints of God, listen to this. This is still John Gill. The saints of God have their best portion saved for last, whereas the unbeliever has his best portion now. His worst is yet to come. Eternal condemnation. Now here's the last thing, verse 51. Joshua 19:51. These are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of Israel, the children of Israel, divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. There was an end to this. And God goes through great detail. Each tribe, each Reuben, Simeon, all those different tribes, they all had their... You go back and read the detail of their borders were exact. And you can go back and look at the map, how it's all drawn out. But here's the point. The final dividing of the land was done by lot. You see that? In Shiloh before the Lord. All this was done before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle. So too, at the last day, before the Lord, the last day of the Lord, when he comes again, when all nations shall be gathered together before him, he will divide to the elect of God their eternal inheritance according to his lot, according to his divine will, decree, and purpose. Now, you can turn with me if you want to Matthew 25. If not, just sit and I'll read it to you. We read about in Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on the left. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit. We have it by lot, by decree, by appointment. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That means at least this. You had no part in the accomplishment or earning any inheritance. The whole inheritance is the inheritance of grace, being justified freely by His grace. God, who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, I like that word, don't you? Freely give us all things.